So this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about the Lord's Prayer from the Gospel lesson of Luke in chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. So before we hear the word read and proclaimed, will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in our bulletin?
God of wisdom, you promise to give your spirit to those who ask. Overwhelm us with your word, that we may know you more fully, love you more passionately, and follow you more closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There are a couple of Bibles out there if you want to follow along. It starts on page 1613, if you'd like. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Jesus is teaching on prayer. Let us listen to the word of God. So one day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend. And he goes to them at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is a friend, yet because of a man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
To God indeed. Why do you pray? Why do you pray? Or even better, maybe, when do you pray? Yeah. In our faith tradition, when we're baptized, or perhaps we go through confirmation class or even Sunday school, and we see in church, we perhaps our parents or our mentors, our teachers, or those that just walk with us in our faith, promise to teach us several things, right? They promise, and they work with us, and they walk with us, and we hear several of the things throughout service, and we'll hear those today as we move through this service. They promise to teach us and to talk with us about the Lord's Prayer, like we heard today in the Gospel lesson, or even about the Ten Commandments, right, and what those mean, or even today we'll use the Apostles' Creed, but there are many different other creeds that we use. And confessions that we use in our service. So we've learned we kind of learn the meanings behind these, each one of these petitions. And we learn about each one of the Lord's Prayer and the phrasing in that, perhaps. And then we learn about the articles of the Apostles' Creed and how it's broken down into its 12 different sentences and the structure of it, right? So, but I'm fairly certain, I'd like to see a show of hands about the Lord's Prayer. Everybody know the Lord's Prayer?
Yeah.
Right? Right? We know that, and we kind of say that, and we move through that without much trouble at all, right?
Recite.
And we can almost say it without thinking, right? Especially when we're in a group setting, because we hear someone else leading us in that way. But perhaps that's the problem, right? Each Sunday, we recite the Lord's Prayer during our prayers, sharing of prayers, joys, and our concerns. But my challenge to you this morning is that do we think about what we're saying? Do we think about not only what we're saying, but what we are praying? What we are praying. Because the Lord's Prayer is perfect. It's a beautiful prayer. And in today's gospel lesson, one of the disciples, and we're not told which one, says, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And a request implies a need, right? A need that the disciples felt and a need that perhaps we feel at times. The need to become closer and to speak with, in conversation, with our Creator. And we see this, I see this need all the time and in many different settings, especially if I'm in visitation with folks at the hospital or at their homes or even their workplaces. Someone who may be critically ill or injured. And the one thing that their family or that person asks before I leave or when I come is prayer, right? And even when I'm walking to and from these places, oftentimes I'll have my collar and people will see and recognize and say, Pastor, will you pray with me? I've been stopped in parking lots and parking decks and grocery store aisles, wherever, and just people have asked, would you pray with me? Or my conversation is, you know, I'll walk down the hall and somebody will say, hey, good morning, Padre. And they'll say, you know, I haven't prayed in a year. I don't know how to pray. I don't know. I'm not sure I can. I don't know what that is. And so there's a tremendous power in prayer. And that power is not just in the comforting nature that seems to come from having someone like me or perhaps you all. I know that you have certainly been in strong prayer for many of us within our congregation. But praying for those that are in need. And the real power, a power that goes far beyond just the recitation of words. Jesus' disciples understood not only the need for prayer, but also the power of prayer when they asked. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And what Jesus gave his disciples was an incredible gift. And he gave them a model of prayer, a structure. And it's this beautiful model, and I have to believe that Jesus didn't intend for that model to become the only prayer or that we would ever use. So let me repeat that question that I asked when I first started. Why do you pray? And there are many reasons that we pray. I can remember as a child praying, certainly in school, that I would do well on a test. Show of hands, how many of y'all have done that, right? Madison's got a hand back there? Right? But, exactly.
Yes, A.T.
But I remember even in seminary praying, how am I going to learn Hebrew? How am I going to learn and translate Greek? Yeah, there's lots of prayers going on in that time. And we've prayed for specific problems in our lives. We've prayed for relief in many, many different things because of either illness or injury. I know that you all as a church and many individually have prayed for me and for Kathy and I during the death of my brother, but more especially moving with my dad and how that's been cherished. We've prayed for each other and relatives that have been in trouble. I've prayed with people that have been in financial trouble. And I've even had a person tell me once from a previous church that I've served that, you know, I've prayed several times. I just asked God to give me the money, but God didn't seem to answer me. Right? And I'm sure we've all prayed something similar to that at one time or the other. And, you know, the beauty of it was that she was just being honest. And I think that's the communication between us and God, is that honesty. So why do you pray? Because prayer is not just an offering up to God of all our needs and then kind of sitting back and saying, well, hey, put it out there. You know, just saying. And then you need to give me what I ask for. Right? Prayer has a rhythm to it. You all know that I talk a lot about music and the meter of music and how important music is to me. And I hear prayer rhythmically in my life. And it just helps to know that it has that kind of rhythm and meter. It has a spirit. It has a life to it. And it should involve our complete attention. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And the really cool part about it, certainly for me, is when I do children's sermon or I pray with a child, wherever they are, is that childlike attention that comes with the prayer of putting our hands together and closing our eyes and that focus towards that, right? And I think that's important because we all need to learn how to pray as children. And the transfer there, the understanding there, is that we are children. We are God's children, all of us, no matter our age, right? And so learning and attuning ourselves back to that and praying and as children is important. And my encouragement for us in White Memorial is that we continue to grow in our prayer life, not just at church on Sundays at 10:30 or perhaps at the park, but everywhere that we are, right? Whether we're at a stoplight, whether we're at work, whether we're just taking a break, whether we're at school, wherever we are, at the grocery store, at the hospital with a friend, however we are, is that we have that opportunity to have a conversation with God, because everywhere is Christ's church. And certainly more of us, some of us are more comfortable in that outward expression. You know, we heard Mary this morning just kind of let it out. You know, she's happy. She loves that. I love that kind of exclamation that the Spirit moves within us. Oftentimes when we have a good sermon, you'll hear somebody say, amen. Or can I get an amen? Or a witness? Can I hear a witness? You know, we hear that kind of back and forth and that encouragement because the Spirit moves within us in that way. So it's a conversation, and it's how we get connected with God and how we communicate with God And God is right next to us. That's the really cool part. God's here this morning, sitting with us, within our picnic tables, within the park, sitting with us, most especially listening and responding. But oftentimes when we have that prayer, and I'm speaking for myself, during my morning prayer, get up, do coffee, and my routine is to kind of have a conversation with God, and then the next thing I know, I'm somewhere else. Right? I've had that kind of laid it out there, and then I gotta, you know, twirl, and I get off on one tangent, and I start thinking about what I've got to do, and where I'm going to be, and oh, what time is it, and how do I, and wasn't I just praying? What just happened? You know, and I kind of got that distraction going on, and then you get dialed back in. But the important part is that when we have that conversation with God, it's just that. It's a conversation. We don't just lay something out there and then walk away. If we're having a conversation, Nancy and I are talking, right? And then I see, you know, I'm saying, hey, Nancy, how's it going? And I don't know, is the horse doing good? And now, you know, and I'm done with the conversation, so I just walk away. Not cool. Not cool. In case you don't know that, it's not cool. Because God wants to talk back, right? So we give that breathing time, that respite time for God to have a conversation back with us, right? Sometimes that quiet, it's not so comfortable. Not so comfortable for us to sit and listen. Or perhaps we choose other ways to have that conversation with God, and God speaks to us in so many different ways, right? Sometimes it's not quiet. Sometimes it is by us doing something, and our listening happens in that way. So why do we pray? Well, prayer can be for so many different reasons, but most often we pray when we're in trouble or we need something, right? But think about this. As God's children, when we pray, how do we approach God? How do we approach God? And it's almost in this way of what I intimated before as this childlike way of how a child approaches their father, or more especially, how they approach their dad. Because that's just more of an intimate word. The word that's used this morning in the gospel lesson is pederos, right? And that's translated, Jesus would have used the Aramaic word Abba, as we heard in our song this morning from Joan, but it's more accurately translated as daddy. And you just hear a kid say daddy, right? Daddy, here's what I need. And it really brings down that level of intimacy between parent and child. And you can watch a child when they have that conversation and they address daddy. And you watch their eyes and you watch that real sense of love and adoration. And when that word is spoken, there's almost a converse to that as well. I mean, I remember being called daddy and how that made me feel, right? And I believe that God must feel that same way, that we are his children, right? It's a conversation between a parent and a child, and that child saying, I love you. But also, it's that parent saying back to the child, I love you too. Yeah. So it's also about, in that prayer, and we hear that in this morning, throughout our service, is saying I'm sorry. Prayer is also about just the recognition of that. And we had that in this morning early in our service. We did the call, and we had our prayer of adoration, and then we had confession before we heard the word read and proclaimed. We had that level of, you know, didn't get it right this week, tried pretty good, almost got there, I'm sorry, I need forgiveness. We recognize the forgiveness, and then we approach the Word of God. right? So it's that forgiveness. It's that confession. And then the other part of the neat part is the Thanksgiving part, where we're giving thanks. And we have that thankfulness throughout our service as well. And this amplifies not only in our song, but also in our prayers. And it's a legitimate prayer form. We say, Father, for all you have done for me this day, I give you thanks. And I praise your goodness and your mercy. It's that recognition. And our children also come to us when they're in need, and they come to us when they're fearful, right? And they come to us because they know we are a source of their loving help. And they come to us to ask for our assistance. And so, no matter how old you are, 60, but you always know you can go to your parent for help, right? And there's a sense of loss in our lives when we don't know who to turn to when we are alone. There's a real fear for that. Yeah. But the fact is, and my encouragement for us this morning, is that we are not alone. We are not alone. We always have a parent in God, a Father, and someone that we can turn to in our time of need. And just as a child turns to his or her parents in supplication, so we can turn to God in supplication, saying, God, my Father, I come to you as your child with all the love in my heart, and I confess to you that, well, I've done things that are wrong, and I need your forgiveness. And God, for all you do for me, for the forgiveness you have granted me, and for the grace in which you have filled me, I thank you. I thank you and I give you praise. But Father, you know all things. You know what is in my heart and my mind, and you know my fears and my needs. So I ask that you walk with me and show me your way so that I might gain strength from your presence. Right? And that contains all those parts and pieces. The adoration, the thankfulness, the forgiveness. Right? God isn't looking for perfection in these prayers. And that's the other cool thing about this. It's really not. You can't mess it up. You just can't mess it up. He's just looking for a conversation in that way. And that conversation is back and forth. And so when you pray from your heart, and you pray with your emotions, and you're not afraid of letting your emotions show, and you ask others to join in, perhaps, and pray with you, and you're joyful and supportive of those other prayers, it's a beautiful thing. And the thing that I'd like to example to you is certainly, as we've done within our sermon this morning, is that the pattern of our service and what we have is a prayer. The entire service. Because we're called and we pray and we confess. And then we come together and we hear the word read and proclaimed. We center our hearts. We try and be as clear and present and attentive as we can, right? And then we affirm what we believe. We kind of get recentered. All right, we heard it. Now we're ready to go. What is it that we believe? Let's get this. Let's put our hands in there, and on three, we're going to shout. You know, let's do this, right? And then we give thanks in a way that says, you know, God, you gave me all these things this week, and I'm grateful. And here's my portion back of thanks, right? And we live into that thanks in that way. And then we're sent. And church is not over. Because that was today, and church is tomorrow, church is this afternoon, church is in the grocery store, churches at the hospital or at a friend's house. And we get to do it again. Right? And we get to have that calling of being brought together and confessing and praying and adoration and forgiveness all together again in so many different ways. And it reflects not just in the structure we have for service today, but in so many different forms. Church is in so many different forms. And so is prayer. So the takeaway for us today is certainly to think about that. Why do we pray? How do we pray? What is incorporated in our prayer? How attentive are we? And realizing that grace abounds so that we can come back to God in a conversation. Not just say what we want, lay it out there, and walk away. Right? But we can come back and have that conversation with God wherever we are, whenever we are. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And